The title of my message is A Bundle of Energy, is the title, and I'm going to read from 1 Colossians, the first chapter, and verses 24 to 29, and I'm going to read from the Message. Listen to these words. I want you to know how glad I am that it's me sitting here in this jail and not you. There's a lot of suffering to be entered into this world, the kind of suffering Christ takes on. I welcome the chance to take my share in the church's part of that suffering. When I became a servant in the church, I experienced this suffering as a sheer gift, God's way of helping me serve you, laying out the whole truth. This mystery has been kept in the dark for a long time, but now it's out in the open. God wanted everyone, not just Jews, to know this rich and glorious secret inside and out, regardless of their background, regardless of their religious standing. The mystery in a nutshell is just this. Christ is in you. Think about that now. Christ is in you. So therefore, you can look forward to sharing in God's glory. It's that simple. That is the substance of our message. We preach Christ, warning people not to add to the message. We teach in a spirit of profound common sense so that we can bring each person to maturity. To mature is to be basic. Christ, no more, no less. That's what I'm working so hard at day after day, year after year, doing my best with the energy God so generously gives me. God's holy word to us tonight. I have had the privilege of taking tour groups over to the Holy Land five times. Had that wonderful, wonderful privilege. But not only that, I've had the honor of taking people to Greece and Scotland and Ireland and Wales and England and leading a group of persons to live in the life of Jesus Christ and the Apostle Paul and John Wesley. And in Greece, we wanted to get as close to Paul to feel something of his love for Christ. So we went to Athens, first of all, to relive the Mars Hill sermon. And we went over to Corinth, the place where the church existed that gave him so much trouble. Thought about that, you know, what that would be like. We had communion there, and then we got on a ship, and we went to many different places. Just tried to go where Paul had been, to try to feel what was like. And then on to Macedonia and Philippi, and I remember having a little service by the river where Lydia, the first Christian convert in Europe, was baptized. It was a special time. We had communion in the midst of the ruins of Philippi, and this was the church, by the way, that was the closest to him in contrast to the Corinthian church. So we had quite an experience to live in both of those. And all of this time, I was lecturing every day what was going on. I was leading worship service. I counseled more people than I normally do. And there were some elderly people with us. And I wanted to make sure that, you know, they were comfortable as possible. So I was working at that. All this was going on. And when I came home, I was exhausted. I mean, totally wiped out. Now, I shouldn't have been surprised because I've done this before and I feel the same way. So I never learn. I never seem to learn. Someone told me one time a story about a man who went into a seedy-looking travel agency. And he asked, is this the place that has the $100 cruise? And the woman said, yes, just go through that door over there. And he went through the door and he ended up in a dark room. Somebody hit him over the head, took all of his money, and when he came to, he was floating down the river strapped to a log. Now, another man went by in exactly the same condition, strapped to a log, and he said, are you on this cruise? And the man said, yes. Well, do they serve lunch? He said, they didn't the last time I took this cruise. Some of us never learn, and I never learn. I mean, I'm tired after this trip I just had to Alaska. But the reason I bring this up is because something hit me on that last trip I took so powerfully. And I realized with great embarrassment and with eager curiosity that this is in such contrast, shocking contrast to the man whose life we went to study, to be close to be with. I mean, the Apostle Paul went to all these places and more, and he did that over and over and over again. You remember from Sunday school, Paul's first missionary journey, his second missionary journey, his third missionary journey. Months and years he did this, and he was lecturing, he was preaching, he was giving pastoral care, all these things, and he was starting churches. He was raising money for the hungry in Jerusalem, doing all of this. And in all the letters of Paul, I don't find a hint of fatigue or exhaustion like I experienced. It's just the opposite. That's so full. He's so full of enthusiasm. And then it seems like to me it was like boundless energy. He was a bundle of energy. I mean, that's the feeling that I get as he went all over the world. And I found myself ever since then asking, how did he do that? It is in such contrast. How did he do that? Well, with the Apostle Paul, we always start with the baseline, and that's Christ. From the time of his Damascus Road experience on, everything in Paul had to be interpreted through Christ Jesus. And we are in a good position to do that. And Colossians is a wonderful text for us. The first chapter of Colossians is where Paul tells us so much about Christ. And yet, in the passage you just heard, Paul said, Christ in you is your hope of glory. That's the miracle. The living Christ. Think about that. The living Christ is in you, in me, as our center, as our source, as our hope of life and of glory. That we can have a personal relationship with this Christ of the universe. And Paul says both things over and over again and beautifully here in the first chapter of Colossians. So I'm asking you tonight to kind of just be aware of that. Be in touch with that. To be aware of Christ in you this moment. To be aware of Christ among us. And to know that this grace unspeakable, that the Christ of the universe is the Christ in whom we can know and love as the beloved, as companion, as Lord. Whatever image this seemed to be right for you at any given time. And what Paul does now is he does something very simple but also important, is to take another step in this passage that we just heard. And he tells us that this personal relationship with the Christ is the source of tremendous power, energy, renewal, strength for us. Paul came to understand this. He said to those Philippians he loved so much, I bet you've heard this before, he said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So different from so many of us who run around trying to do our own thing, losing the contact, forgetting where that strength comes from. And here in Colossians, that closing line of his still kind of echoing in my head, because after he has been talking about the eternal Christ, after he's telling us about the Christ in us, Paul talks about his ministry. He talks about working hard, the very thing that I was talking about. And he says, I continue striving with all the energy Christ mightily inspires within me. Wow. What a wonderful sentence. That's where it comes from. for everything that we are called to be and everything that we're called to do, Christ mightily inspiring us. And if we'll just turn to that, if we'll be open to that tonight, if we can make contact with that, that's what Paul is talking about here. And that's the thing that's so frustrating also, because it happened to me before, but in a different setting. We went to England to follow in the footsteps of John Wesley. And we went to Epworth, and we went to Oxford, and we went to London, and we went all around. The same thing, I come back tired. And here is John Wesley up into his 80s, traveling 250,000 miles on horseback in the 18th century, preaching, teaching, lecturing, founding churches, pastoral care, the whole thing again. Here it is. And the wonderful thing that I read in his journal, and here he is preaching at 5 a.m., to the miners before they go off to work, coal miners. And he's like that day after day after day. He preached 2, 3, 4, 5 times a day and all the other things that are going on. And at the end of his journal entry, he so often says, "My strength was as my day." Wow, what a great sentence. Whatever the day required, my strength was as my day. But for John Wesley, as well as for the Apostle Paul, it is Christ. He talks about that over and over and over again, about Christ being all in all. So here's the Apostle Paul, here's John Wesley setting an example, a clear, direct example for me and for you, that whatever you are called to be and whatever you're called to do, the Christ of the universe, the Christ of God in you, available to you as that source of energy, so that you can strive in whatever you are called to do with the energy mightily given. Mightily, energy. Now, a little example of that, on the trip to Israel before that. I had worked so hard on this one occasion to prepare the folks for a visit to Jacob's Well. Now, if you've ever been to Israel, you know that is an important site. You can't go there now because of all the disturbances, unfortunately. But this is one of the one true, authentic sites. We know that Jesus himself was there. We know it. This is the well. And so I gave a lecture, and I worked so hard the night before to get everybody ready so they just knew what was happening, where we were, what was going on. And then we went, we had the service, we had a meditation, we had all this, talked about water, used water as a symbol, all of this. I really worked hard. And we're ready to get back on the bus. And I heard a woman say to her husband, "Where did he say we were?" Oh, my God. And you know what he said? He said, "Hell, Derry, I don't know. Just get a bottle of water and get back on the bus." I can find that humorous now. But not then when it happened. It's one of those experiences where I literally felt energy draining from me. Have you ever had those occasions that you just feel it going whoosh, right out the door after trying so hard and having that kind of a response? Those things happen to us all the time. Whatever we're called to do for Christ in the world, and the secret is, GH, the secret, learn the lesson. The secret is what Paul is modeling for us and John Wesley models for us, of going again and again and again to Christ, who mightily inspires us. Christ's energy available to you now. Whatever is going on in your life right now, whatever your need in terms of renewal or empowerment, Christ Jesus is here within you, for you know and reflect on that for a while. Now, I have one other thing very quickly to add to this, and it's important because I kept asking, how did he do that? How did he come to this? It doesn't just happen. You know, I've been trying my whole ministry on how to get to this place where you stay connected, you know, this way. Or where you can turn in the midst of a hell-dury kind of experience. And in Colossians, I find Paul saying to his friends here, continue steadfast in prayer. And I realized how often in the letters he talks about this, to pray without ceasing, to give thanks in all circumstances, because this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. He talks about praying for the Roman Christians and for others. And I realized that that was what was for Paul, was a vigorous, growing prayer life where he learned the way, where the conditions were set up, it made it possible for him that under that pressure and under that stress to turn to the source. And that's important because most of us who are here tonight would agree, yes, Reverend, that's important. I agree. Prayer is important. I don't think there'd be an argument there. But what I have discovered is that most of us just don't do it. We don't have a regular prayer life. That's a fact I discovered and is true about us. I mean, the 40 people that I took with me over on that trip, I mean, these people are willing to spend a lot of money and time and energy to go on a trip like that, and only a handful of people had an active prayer life. And then the preacher comes along and makes us feel guilty that we're not doing anything. It's not about guilt. That's not it. I don't know any shortcuts, though. I don't know any gimmicks at all. All I know is to do it. And when we have a reminder to pick yourself up and do it and don't waste time in self-loathing or in criticism or feeling guilty, just do it. Find a little bit of time. Be steadfast in prayer. That's where you learn the method. And the method, I don't think that's important. The method will be right for you, whatever that is for you. That's what's right. I remember a guy named Charles Allen. He was a businessman. He had an elevator up to the top floor. He didn't use it. He walked up the four stories, and each step he took, it was his prayer step. He thanked God on each prayer about him being with him that day. And then when the day was over and he walked down those steps, he prayed and thanked God for how he was with him every day. I think that's kind of cool. And I'm kind of convinced, too, that maybe tonight we'll just be reminded that maybe we need to take it step by step, you know, and just be remindful for prayer. I'm convinced that that's where we need to turn the way Paul did. And finally, certainly most of you know who Mother Teresa was, I'm sure. She was a dear, dear, dear soul. Winner, as you know, the Nobel Peace Prize and all the rest. Well, they were interviewing a young man who had gone to India to help her with the poor and the sick. And he was given this unbelievable task of working with a small group of 8 to 10 boys who were homeless, parentless. So he became the parent. He became the teacher. He became the friend to them, living with them, bringing them up. Well, there was a reporter there, and the reporter asked this young man, aren't there times that you are discouraged when you realize of the thousands and thousands of children whom you cannot help? And a look came over this young man's face in which it seemed to think that was the most ridiculous question he had ever heard. But what he finally does say is this. He says, here are some boys who need me, and I'm able to help them. That's what really matters. And I find myself asking the question again, how can you be Christ's man or woman in situations like that? And then I know that they are striving with all the energy Christ Jesus mightily inspires within them. Amen. Amen.